But you know what they do instead? They can't tell you they don't believe that book. They can't tell you that kind of stuff. So they say, it's not for today. If they can keep you blind to it, have to do it. Who do you believe? God or man?
God.
God. That's why He gave us His Word.
Amen.
He gave us His Word so you could check me out.
Amen.
I don't want you to take my word for anything. I don't want you coming here, oh, that Brother Usler, man, he knows the Word. He knows. No, go home and read it for yourself.
Amen.
Can you imagine going out to a restaurant with me? If I invite you out to a restaurant and I sit down and I order a big porterhouse steak, a baked potato, and a big salad, some corn on the cob, maybe a nice tall glass of iced tea. I'm hinting. And all of a sudden I'm sitting there eating that and I don't offer you any. How many days would you like to go and sit there and watch me eat and you not get any of it? How many days would you actually sit there and watch me eat and not get any of it? Thank you. See, there's one knows how to tell the truth. I ain't going to sit there with you. I'm hungry. I want something to eat, Grandma. Now, you're not going to put up with that. Yet you do it every Sunday in some churches. Not all churches, just some of them. And I wonder, why? Why would you do that? But you know what's beautiful? A lot of people say, well, Brother Usler wants everybody to leave their church. No, I don't. No, I don't want you to leave your church. I want you to get right with God. I want you to get right with God and go back to your church and believe God and do what God says, and then God will have to get that preacher right.
Amen.
Amen.
See? And then when that preacher gets right, the rest of the congregation will get right.
Amen.
See? All it takes is a little leaven.
Amen.
To leaven the whole lump. You get one real on-fire Christian, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The church is going to change, or they'll get rid of you. Now, I went into a church one time. Now, I don't go into churches. I very seldom go into churches. Unless God specifically says, go in that church. Because I walk with the anointing. Because I'm good? No. Because I'm special? No. Because God just decided I'm going to put it on that guy. So I walked in this church one time, and I sit in the back of the church, and the preacher got up and he started to pray. And he's praying, Lord, what's happened to the power in the church? At least he was looking, right? Lord, where's your power going in the church, Lord? And he stopped and he walked and looked at me, and he started praying and he looked at me, and he walked back and he said, sir, I just saw something on you, and the Lord told me that He has anointed you. And you know where the power's gone and what to do about it. And He sent you here this night. I said, yes, sir. He said, would you come take the microphone and teach us? And I really felt hope. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. So I got up there. I said, Lord, what should I preach? And Isaiah 3, chapter 12 came to my mind. Now, you women are going to love this. Going to find out old Richard's a male chauvinist pig. Kids are going to love it too. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the ways of thy paths. Now, who was that? That I was asking that about the other day. Was that you? And I said, who are the people here? And she named everything but the right answer. Oh, I wasn't supposed to embarrass you, was I? That's good, because you know I'm going to do what I'm going to do. God embarrasses me enough. I mean, you know, it's fair. Anyway, she said first the children, then she said the wives, and I said, no, it's the men.
Men.
Didn't? What did I say? Oh.
There's only one left.
That's right. I said, huh, there's only one left, right?
That's right.
Then you said men.
The men.
The men. See, as for my people, that is, God's men, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. If you don't think that's true, look in the world today. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm not going to get into a long thing on this tonight. But let it suffice me to say, God doesn't hate women. He loves them.
Amen.
I mean, after all, Mary was Jesus' mother. And Mary Magdalene was the first preacher.
Amen.
She was the first to preach the gospel. So you can't tell me God hates women. God loves women.
Amen.
But God has a line of authority. And that line of authority is to show His ways.
Amen.
You see? There was no sin in this world until Adam obeyed Eve. And she's been paying for it ever since, and she's made sure we have too. But God wants to heal all that and fix it.
Amen.
And it can only be fixed in Jesus Christ. So I got up there and I started preaching, you know, on this. And there was this old lady sitting in the pew over here, and she caught the pastor's eye, and she goes, "That's the truth." She just took her thumb across her throat. We knew who the gunner was in that church. And he got all embarrassed. He said, sir, we can't hear any more of this. We can't hear any more of this. And I said, all right, no problem. What's it to? I said, but know you this, God has sent a watchman into this tabernacle today. And when I leave, the candlestick goes with me. And I got up and walked out of that church. Two other people walked out with me. Within a very short time, while they were having service one night, the steeple collapsed and fell into the center of the church. Today you can go buy furniture in it. Ricky, you've seen it, haven't you?
I think it was a repair shop last time I was there.
Yep, furniture repair shop. God sent them a watchman, and they didn't want to hear it. And yet, the very thing they'd been praying for, the very thing they wanted to know, they rejected. God wants the church in order.
Amen.
But it's got to start with the families.
Amen.
It's got to start with the men. I can go into a church, and I can tell right off looking at the church how close to right that church is. And I don't even need the Spirit of God to tell. I don't need discernment. I don't need the Spirit. All I have to do is walk in and count how many women and how many men. And if it's full of women and no men, I know the church ain't right. You know why? Now, don't be too offended. Please, ladies, don't be too offended. You're deceivable. You're deceivable. If you weren't, none of us men would ever have wives.
Amen.
That's the truth. We con the living daylights out of you girls to get you to go out with us. Isn't that right, guys?
Amen.
We con you, ladies. We will tell you anything. We will take a look at that girl. Ooh, isn't that a nice looking girl? I got to get a date with her. And I will go lie to her in a heartbeat. Tell her all the things I want her to think she wants to know. Put on a show. This is the worldly Richard. Now, this isn't me now that I'm a Christian. I'm married anyway. My wife would kill me. Anyway. Now, I got a good wife.
Amen.
But then she'll take a look at you and say, I like that. And you know what? She'll begin to con you right back. She'll put on that sweet, innocent face and pretend to be so nice. And she'll like everything you like. And there's nothing you can do wrong. And you say, man, this is the woman I want to marry. And then you'll get married. And it'll last about 2 weeks. And it starts. World War III. Because all of a sudden, she is now going to fix you. Because you're stupid. You guys are dumb. You figure once you're married, you can drop the game. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Paul? Okay, I'm married now. I got her. I can be myself. And that doesn't last too long. And she's going to start trying to change you. Huh? And then the battle begins. Do you know, Jim back there married my oldest daughter. Did you date her before you were married? No, you didn't. Ricky, you married my middle daughter. Did you date her before you were married?
No.
No. My wife and I didn't date when we were married, before we were married either. And my youngest daughter isn't allowed to date and won't date, and she's glad about it. These guys come around here. I got a pretty little girl. All my daughters are pretty. But Cheryl's, you know, she's about this tall, long blonde hair, pretty little girl. And the boys come around the house like flies looking for honey. Can Cheryl come out and play? No. She can come out, but she can't play. And they'll come up to Cheryl and they say, Cheryl, would you be my girlfriend? She says, no. But why? She says, because I don't date. And I don't want a boyfriend. But you can be my friend. And see, we've taught our children that Jesus, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
So if I'm single, I hope that wasn't just because you were cold. So if I'm single and I see this young lady over here, I have to remember, if she's a Christian, she's my sister. And if she's my sister, I'm going to treat her with respect and honor and love as my sister.
Amen.
And you know what's neat about that? She gets to know me as I really am because I don't have to fake anything.
Amen.
And I get to know her as she really is because she doesn't have to fake anything. And then when God is ready, then we can come together as man and wife. And there's no fighting.
Amen.
My wife and I have been married 15 years.
Longer than that, Cheryl, 16.
Oh, okay. You didn't have to say it quite that way, son. You're right, it was longer. Thank you, Lord. And you're going to love that, huh? Yes, we've been married a little over 16 years. And now I don't even remember what I was going to say.
You guys have never fight.
And, you know, we've never really had a fight. Never really had a fight. We've had discussions and disagreed on things. A couple times we really could have had a fight, but God was merciful, kept one of us silent, while the other one went crazy. Ricky and Baldwin, you and your wife fight?
No.
Ever had one?
No.
Jim, you and your wife fight? Ever had one? It was funny. Now, Carrie, his wife, is the one with the attitude. Now, there was a time when Carrie could walk in a room with an attitude and the lights would dim. And I'll tell you, when a woman has that ability, she can make you paranoid. And my wife can do that. My wife get me on my knees. Remember on the radio station one time I was teasing about my wife? I said I have my wife on her knees beat to me 3 times a day. 3 times a day I make her get on her knees and beg me to come out from under the bed so she can beat me some more. Of course, I had to tell him I wasn't telling the truth. God won't let me lie to get away with it. But anyway, Carrie had that ability to really make things get dark and make you paranoid. And I told Kim when they got married, Jim. So when you get married, I told him right in front of Carrie, didn't I? I said, now look, you come home from work, and Carrie's got one of these attitudes, and you're going just like every man's going to do. You're going to say, what's the matter, honey? Because you're going to feel paranoid. When you ask her, what's the matter, honey, she's going to say, nothing. Don't get paranoid. Don't get upset. Just tell her you've got an attitude, fix it, and walk out. Just leave. Why? Because she doesn't know what she's mad about either. And if you keep pushing it, she'll find something to be mad about. She'll find 5 or 6 things in that box of hers that she's kept hidden under the bed to get mad about. And she'll give them all to you. So what you do is you just tell her, you've got an attitude, fix it, and go away and pray. And then when you come back, if she's still got that attitude, bend her over your knee. Carrie looked at me. And I said, if you can't, bring her up to me and I'll do it for you. And I told Carrie, I said, look, when you marry him, you're not my responsibility anymore. I'm free. Now you're his responsibility. So I said, if you got a problem, don't you come crying to me. I'll just run you right back down there. And Jim, if you have a problem, you can come ask advice, but don't come crying to me. So you were married, what, about 2 weeks? You come home from work. About 2 weeks, she comes home from work, walks in the house, Carrie's sitting there, the lights are half dim, the electricity's trying its best to light the place. And he says, what's the matter, hon?
Nothing.
Well, see, that started a fight. Before God taught me how to be a true husband, I couldn't have let that lie there. See, because all of a sudden, I would have felt guilty, I would have felt paranoid, and I knew I didn't do anything wrong, so I'd have to justify myself. But I found out God wants us men to be like Jesus. He wants us to take that off of them. Not put more on them.
Amen.
See, the priest put it on you. Jesus takes it off of you.
Amen.
Amen. So he says to Carrie, you've got a problem. And he walks outside and he prays. And you know, God worked the miracle. Carrie sat right there and she realized what was going on. And she praised God and thanked God for it. When Jim came back in, they had a good life.
Amen.
And that's the way God wants it to be. But, you know, It's not our jobs to pound people over the head when they do wrong. You know, I know that there's not a person in here when you do something wrong. You know it. You know when you do something wrong. What do you need me or anybody else to tell you for? You know when you do wrong. And God doesn't want to pound you over the head. And I don't want to pound you over the head. God wants to turn you free.
Amen.
He wants to set you loose. He wants to pick you up and give you a hug and say, it's okay, I love you anyway. Now go clean up your clothes and get out there and play some more. That's what Jesus is all about. That is what God is all about. And sharing Himself with you. What time is it?
8:20.
I've been running my mouth good. Play me a song. Give the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory unto you, Lord.
I brought Paul up here tonight because Paul, he came up here. He left his home and came up here not knowing what to expect. And having certain problems with not knowing what to expect, although I told him. And you've been blessed since you've been here, haven't you? And he's been blessed. God has been giving him things to see. The other night he walked in here and God showed him His anointing and His glory. And it annoyed him because he was trying to see something else and he didn't realize what it was. I got jealous. But God showed him something last night, and I want him to share it with you.
Life as a Christian is not meant to be spent in frustration and misery. It's meant to be spent in power and in glory and in service. But one of the things the Lord's shown me is the power of someone who has truly a servant's heart. And, you know, I've missed an awful lot in my walk with Jesus because I lived in the kingdom of Paul. And I spent a lot of money and a lot of time looking for that which would make me happy and not what would make God happy. And Richard started talking about the crossing the River Jordan. This wasn't a new concept. I mean, I heard it before. But like before, I never thought that it had that much application to me until we started this. And what, you know, we'd learned about, and I knew intellectually about the power that God wanted to put in our lives if we'd only, you know, listen to Him. And I was content not to be disturbed by having never heard from God. Richard wasn't. And I thank the Lord for that, because back early on, I did hear from the Lord. And sometimes I actually got it right. But somebody told me somewhere along the way that wasn't going to stay that way. And they were right. And that's a shame, because God wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His ways. He wants you, He desires to know, for you to know His ways. And there's that thing about crossing the Jordan. Those who went over seized the land. And Caleb and Joshua said, hey, Moses, we can take that land. Let's go.
Amen.
And they're the only ones who saw it. The other point is, everybody else died in the wilderness. If the alternative is dying in the wilderness, why would you die? God doesn't want you to die in the wilderness. God wants you to cross over the River Jordan, learn how to obey Him, and operate in His power. And learn the principle of servanthood. Walking under God's authority, under the authority of anybody that He would put over you, there's power in servanthood. Learn to be His servant. Learn to hear from Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you. This is the immense gravity of that principle escaped me before we came up here. And why would you die in the wilderness? Why would you die? Was that what I was going to say, or did I go somewhere else? Okay. Which vision? The other. The other aspect of crossing the River Jordan is, I have seen this, it's like a dam, and there's a river backing up behind it. And if we would just submit ourselves to Him, say, Lord, whatever You have for me now, I'll do it. I don't stand up in front of crowds. I'm scared out of my mind. I don't know why I'm up here now. You know, my knees are rubber most of the time. But the Lord showed me that, and I've heard this before, and I said, man, how plastic sounding it is. But that's not. I've seen it this time. There's a dam. He's got blessings backed up forever. The people in this room would say, Lord, take me. Open me up. Search me. Show me Thy ways. I want to know You. I want to serve You. I want to operate in the power and minister for You to everyone else. And I know it's there, just like I know His anointing's in the tent. I know it now because I saw it. And every now and then I see it again. Listen. Open ourselves up to the Lord and receive the blessings.
Amen. Amen.
And the power and the service of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
See, before I'd have a hard time getting him to say anything. Now I say, come up and tell one thing. He wants to preach. See what God can do?
Amen.
See what God can do? You know, he hadn't been to seminary. Didn't go to Bible college. Didn't get any big, long, fancy degree after his name. He just knows Jesus.
Amen.
That's all you need.
Amen.
That's all you need. I think everybody in here believes in God. And I think most of you believe in Jesus. I don't think any of you are satisfied with what you've got. I really don't believe that. I'm not. And since Paul started this, I might as well finish it. Well, better yet, let God finish it.
Amen.
Amen.
If there's anyone here that is not satisfied with what you've had, and you want more, you just want everything that God will give you, join me up here. Just join me up here. Now, before I start, because there's a lot of things God wants to give out. Some of you have asked Jesus into your hearts already. And so you don't need to do that. Is there anyone here who has not asked Jesus in their heart who wants to be a Christian? Is there anyone who has not asked Jesus in their heart? Okay, everybody's asked Jesus in their heart. Is there anybody here that knows what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is and wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has not received it? You come up here. Come up here next to me. Stand here first. The rest of you all pray for us.
Amen.
See, that's what the church is supposed to do, is pray for one another. Amen? Just raise your hands. Raise your hands up. See, Jesus is the baptizer.
Amen.
Not me. Just lift your eyes up and say, Father, I love you. Lord Jesus, would you baptize me with your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, so be it. In Jesus' name, so be it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Receive. In Jesus' name, receive. In Jesus' name, receive. Now, God says He'll give it, but you have to receive it. Remember what we studied the other night about the double-minded man can't receive? God will give it. You've got to receive it. And you receive just like you received Jesus, by faith. And when you start praising the Lord, right now God is giving you that little tiny mustard seed of Himself. That little tiny leaven. Let's put that in you. Water that lemon. Just start praising Him. Just praise Him out loud. And let Him grow. And let it grow. And as you're doing that, I'm going to pray for the rest of these people here. Father, you know these people here, and you know what's in. And I thank you, Lord, that they've come forward, because they haven't come forward for me, and they haven't come forward because I'm a good preacher, because we both know better than that. But Father, somewhere you've opened their heart to know that you are real and Jesus is real, and they want more of you, and they're not satisfied with what they have. And Father, because of your goodness and because of your greatness, I ask you in the name of Jesus to give them their desires of their heart and hold it back not one drop. To let forth in them a flow of living waters, to build and to build and to build. So that one day they wake up, they're going to wonder just when it happened and how it happened. But it's going to happen, and they are going to glorify you and praise you.
Amen.
I just praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, is anybody sick? Anybody sick? Anybody have an illness? Do you have an illness? Sleep apnea? Jesus' name is gone right now. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and let it out. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to tell me how you sleep tonight. But you come back here tomorrow and say, and I want you to tell me the truth. And I'm going to command that you sleep like a baby tonight. Amen. Praise be to God. Do you have bronchitis? Not anymore. In Jesus' name, I rebuke it. I command that bronchitis to leave and those lungs to open up and be healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say thank you, Jesus. And just take a deep breath now. Just take a deep breath. Let it all out. Come on, don't worry. Just take a deep breath. Let that stuff, you're going to cough. You're going to probably end up hacking your head off tonight, but your God's going to clean you totally out. And I want you to come back and tell me all about it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Dr. Jesus is here, man. It's not me. It's Jesus. Yes, sir. You got an allergy. You can't have an allergy. You're my grandson. You're not allowed to have an allergy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that allergy. I command it to be gone. I command it to leave. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know your mother used to have an allergy? She used to have an allergy one time. And she was... had to be taken to the hospital all the time. Jesus healed her. And now he's healing you. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on. Who else? Who else? Anybody have something that they need specific attention on? All right. Then I want you to just kind of join hands with each other. And look around each other. And I want you to realize your brothers and sisters here. This is brothers and sisters. Sisters and brothers. Amen. I'm your brother. Jesus is your elder brother. And you know, we may not always agree with one another. You may not like some of the things I say and a couple of the things I do. But you know, I love you because you're my brother and you're my sister. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, this is how they're going to know you're my disciples, your love one for another. And it's time Christians begin to love one another. Love one another. And that doesn't mean we have to lie to one another. It doesn't mean we have to agree with one another. But we have to learn to love one another, and we have to learn to agree with that book right there. Without the comb. Because, see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter what you think. And it doesn't matter what the preacher on the hill thinks. What matters is what God thinks. And if you always want to be right, always want to be right, then agree with God. And you can never be wrong. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them you love them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all take a seat. This little lady here had an accident one time, was really, really banged up, weren't you? She was somewhat hurt real bad. And you know, the other night she was standing out there telling me about one of her problems. And I just reached over and touched her. I said, you don't have that problem anymore in Jesus' name.
And I don't.
And she doesn't have it anymore. That's the God we have. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Give the Lord a cheer.
Amen.
Praise your Lord. All right, now, I'm getting ready to have him play my traveling music. And before I do that, I just want to say, as I've said every night, we don't take up offerings here. I'm not here to take. I'm here to give. Jesus said, freely received, freely give. This is paid for. Christians have already paid for this revival. It's a gift of God. And we're not here to extract money from you for for this revival. Amen. But what we are here is to give. Now, if you do want to help on the next one, there are baskets here. And it's between you and God what you give, if you give, or how you give. It's none of my business. So I'm not going to stand up here and bore you with a lot of stuff. On that table over there are some brochures about our ministry. See, we take this tent out where nobody else will go. We took it, like Terry said the other night, to Alabama, just knowing that only one person was going to be there. We knew no one else was going to be there but Terry and his family. We went anyway because God wanted Terry to receive. Isn't that right? So we'll take this tent wherever God tells us to go, and we don't care the cost. We don't care because it's His work. But if you believe in what we're doing and you want to help us out, there's some information about us. Son, hit that traveling music for me.